If you have any questions or concerns about this week's episode, please call or text producer Dan at 778-288-9255.
Start the party, Dan. It's time to turn it up. We're getting crazy, going wild, looking nasty stuff. Dudes scrolling down the site, fucked up. Fire, boom, roast, mad posts, sticking up the replies. We don't want to go to school. We don't want to get a job. We just want to get online and get our ass fucked. We don't follow the rules. We do whatever we want. It's Block Party, the podcast, like we're doing in a duck. Block Party.
Hello, friends, idiots, and friends who are also idiots. Welcome to your favorite podcast about social media and rejection. It is Blocked Party. This is episode number 276. I'm John.
I'm Stefan.
And with us is a fantastic guest, a first-time guest on the program. She is the host of Tinder Live, as well as the I Thought It Was Just Me podcast, and has a brand new book out called You're Not the Only One Fucking Up. Lane Moore is here. Hi, Lane.
Hi, Lane.
Hi.
I felt like I was a little nervous reading out all the things. You know, you're wow. You're like me. You do a lot of things. I could have included your band in there. I mean, you got a lot going on.
There is a lot going on. Thank you. Yes, that explains my exhaustion occasionally.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah.
That feels validating.
Well, I support whatever you're doing, and I'm sorry that you're tired.
It's fine. I feel like if you're not tired right now, I'm suspicious of you anyway. You know, like that's when I meet someone and they're just like, I'm thriving. I feel no pain. I'm like, okay, I want whatever you're on. You're on something. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. Fuck you, first of all. And second of all,
I don't really do anything and I'm tired. Dan, I think, is constantly tired as well. John, I feel like John, I don't know. I feel like John isn't tired, but I know he does work hard. I think he's just a freak of nature, I think.
I think I also might be a freak. which was the weirdest way to say that. I think I also might be a freak.
Yeah.
It's like
Silverchair
a 90s
wrote a song
infomercial.
About that, I think.
Yeah, I think that was not Silverchair, but you know,
yeah, they wrote, yeah, Silverchair, body and soul. I'm a freak. Anyway,
I thought you meant okay, I went too far. I thought you meant Radiohead's Creep and you were a dig at Radiohead. My brain went 16 steps farther than it needed to.
No, I'm much stupider than that, Lane. I know we're just meeting for the first time, but it's a little more straight ahead. Now, I want to, not to put you on blast here, Lane, but I do want to start with this. We were talking before the show and you are a musician. You have a band. Your band is called It Was Romance. And... Mm-hmm. We were talking before the show about how we play the theme songs live and what is your, you know, you said, well, it'll probably be at least just fine.
I'd like to know, keep in mind the person who made the theme song for us is a close personal friend of ours.
And we'll be listening to this.
So the main thing that I was listening for, and I don't know if this is because I'm a musician and a songwriter and all these things, I was trying to discern the lyrics and I couldn't do it. I was trying to, is there something about a duck?
There is something about a duck. Yeah.
Okay. That was my main thing. I wasn't really focusing on vibes. I was like, what are these lyrics? I can't really understand them. It sounds a little bit like 90s pop punk. Is there something about a duck? And then it was over.
Yeah.
So that was my thing.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, most of the lyrics are about Twitter. So instead of saying
update the lyrics at this point, I think, right?
Yeah, because we do have a lyric video on our Instagram. So if you're confused, Block Party Pod, it's there. But it was because we change our theme song every 100 episodes. So the previous theme song, one of the lyrics was, I quote tweeted a dunk, like on Twitter, you know, like when you dunk on someone and you quote tweet it, you're like, hey, look at this. And people kept mishearing it as quote tweeted a duck.
Okay.
And so that's the sort of callback to I quote tweeted a duck.
Yes.
And then we get the duck noise.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay.
But that's all. I mean, it's just your regular song about Twitter. It's not a big deal.
Song about Twitter, like there's 20 of them. You know the songs about Twitter. I feel like that's one of the only things I've never written about. I've never written a song that goes hard on Twitter. I guess I could.
Do need to probably update the song though, because John, you still post on there for whatever reason, but I think like...
Well, we're changing it in 24 episodes.
I guess that's true. That's
episode
a good point.
300, we change it. So.
Something to keep in mind, certainly. Yeah. I will say it's also nice to be back doing a regular episode because last month we were doing Freaky February, where we were doing episodes of our friends' podcasts for the entire month. So it's been over a month since we did just a normal, regular block party, and I'm very excited for it, John.
It is weird to be back. We've never taken a break. We've done 276 straight Mondays. We have never taken a break from doing this show. I missed one episode because I was on my honeymoon. And you missed one episode because
I was away for like family stuff.
Yeah. You weren't even doing it. You were just like, I don't feel like doing it
pretty
this
much.
Week.
Yeah.
but yes. So we've never taken like really a break from doing the show.
So what you're saying is weird. I've never taken a break from doing the show.
You're the only constant on every episode, Dan. That's true. Yeah.
I took a really big break from doing this show.
You did. Yeah. That must feel great. But yeah, like Stefan said, we did episodes of other podcasts for all of February. And so so if we're a little rusty, you'll just have to forgive us because it's kind of our first time back. Have you ever considered that? Like, would you do an episode of another podcast? Like what podcast would you pick if you were like, I'm going to be the host?
Podcast?
Yeah.
God, I honestly don't know. Did you have a hard time picking what podcast you were going to do?
We just have like four friends who do podcasts, and we just kind of did their podcast.
I think that's what I would do. I think I would just be like, all right, who are my friends doing podcasts, and I'll do that. Like I'm although some of them would be very funny to do. Like I'm friends with Danny Tamborelli and Mike Marona from Pete and Pete, and like it'd be very funny to riff with somebody I did not have a childhood with.
Right.
that'd be kind of fun. Yeah. Remember when we were four and we were the hottest kids in America? I couldn't do that.
Is that what most of the riffs are on that podcast?
I know, but they have such a shared history. It'd be really funny.
Remember when we were hot kids?
We were the hottest kids. We were so hot. Do you remember? And it's just like either Pete being like, we don't talk like that. I'm like, well, I'm feeling in. You have to deal with it.
Remember that Bop It commercial we did? We were on top of the world.
We got paid $3,000, which was a lot then. Yeah.
I do think we did a pretty good job overall, though, John.
People seem to like it. People thought it was a kind of a nice change of pace. I mean, it was hard not to take some of that a little bit personally, where people are just like, kind of when you guys did the other podcasts, that was really sort of good. Like maybe you should keep doing that.
Yeah. But I mean, maybe they have a point. So something to keep in mind. Maybe we'll do a total rebrand. Come
as
episode
someone else.
300. Yeah, we'll give it a try. Why not? I feel like it's become less and less about social media a little bit as we've gone on because, we don't post as much anymore in general. Obviously all the Twitter stuff and just like, I guess we're just getting older, John. I guess this is growing up.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to be 40 soon-ish. Like I've got like about a year and a half left before I'm in the grave. So it's going to be, you're right. It is going to be difficult to, to kind of keep up with the internet in that moment.
Certainly. Yeah. I think Blue Sky being opened up to the public has helped a little bit in terms of there's some crazy posts on there, it's getting there ever so slowly. But yeah, I think also like, not doing the episode for a normal episode for a month. It's like, oh yeah, I have to do this. I have to come up with this. I guess it's just one thing I have to do, but I did remember to do it, John. I just want to let you know. I did remember to do the one thing I had to do for this episode.
I respect you for that.
Yeah.
Maybe we just got to get in TikTok. Do you TikTok, Lane? Are you a TikTok person?
I do. I am on TikTok. But TikTok's gotten so weird. They've spun out into ads now and like heavily into ads. You see an ad like every other post pretty much.
Oh, yeah.
And then they're not pushing people's content out anymore. So it's like just showing it like, and everybody that I've talked to on TikTok, like my TikToks, I used to post them and they would blow up. It was kind of like a given, and it wasn't just me, and it wasn't like, oh, all my TikToks were so pristine, but like it was really pushing out content in a normal way. And just lately it's like everyone I talk to is like, I don't know what it's doing. I can post something that would normally do super well for me and it'll get stuck at like 500 views, 1,000 views. I don't know what's going on, but I've heard enough people talk about it that I know it's not just me.
That feels like every social media site, right? It's just like it's good for like a year, and then they're like, "Oh, we're gonna wreck everything you like about it."
Yeah.
So honestly, that's the biggest feeling I have about social media right now. As somebody who is like, you know, been on a long time now, and I'm just like, this sucks. I remember like what social media, what we were promised, what it was supposed to be, what we were told it was, how it functioned for a long time, and then it became this horrible thing that was like, the only things that we're going to push out there are people who steal your tweets and post them without credit for profit that you'll never see. And it's like, that, how did we stray so far from God's light? This is not what this was meant to be at all.
Yeah, you might be the only person that has ever referred to Twitter as God's light. but yeah,
it's definitely not. But still, like, how did we go from something that was like, it was fun once.
It was briefly fun. I feel like the last year, I feel like the last year online was fun was like 2015, maybe.
Yeah.
So it has been like almost 10 years at this point, I guess.
We're still chasing that high. It's like, I think that's what it is. It was like, 2015, 2016, 2017. I feel like 2015 to 2018, maybe even before then, it was rad. And then like the pandemic, I don't even know. And then after that, everything just really...
Everything feels the same now. Everything is broken in really bad and annoying ways. I've got a Twitch stream and we post clips on YouTube, and we've been told the way to like get more views on stuff is to not push the videos out to your subscribers. There's like a box you uncheck. It's like totally counterintuitive, and it just seems like everything is broken in that sort of way. And it makes
sense. Everything needs its own little niche thing. And like, do they not know that this is like free work? It's so strange to me that I'm like, why would you not push out my content? I'm making stuff for you for free for these brand, like these apps and stuff to like make money off of. Why are you now not even like, you're not showing me my friends' posts? It's just, I don't know who's winning here. I don't think it's them either. Like, I don't think they're winning either. It's very strange. We had a really simple model. They were the winners. We were the sometimes winners, and then they just had to mess even that up. It's very stupid.
I think all those private equity freaks, I get what you're saying. Like, I think they've technically won, but it's like, and I guess they're, I don't know
but
how they're making.
But at what cost?
Well, yeah, exactly. Like, it's just like, and it doesn't matter to them because they're rich as fuck and like, they don't care what anyone thinks about them, but it's like, they're like some of the most hated people in the world. They've never created anything worthwhile. I mean, my social media update today is like along those lines kind of, and like, every website I ever wrote for is gone now. It's just like, and it's like they're gone because the website was just like run into the ground by like total morons.
And that's every media place I've ever worked for. And again, it's very similar to the social media stuff where you're like, you know, you had a good thing going. You were paying me so much less than you should have been. I was making millions and millions of dollars that I never saw. And then you somehow got even greedier and made it even worse than that. That's got to be it.
That is what it is like they're making more than enough money to make any normal person like happy, presumably, but it's like that's never enough, and they just need more and more and more, and then they just kill whatever was making them the money in the first place and move on to something else.
Correct.
And it's just like, it's so brutal, and that's the entire internet.
It's really that's the entire internet, and it's real strange for somebody who is, you know, whether they wanted to be or not, very online.
Well, I think to your point about the pandemic is good, because for me, really, Twitter peaked with the Imagine video. Like, that was sort of as good as it ever got. And now we're living in the shadow
day together.
We're living in the shadow of the Imagine video, really.
Yeah. To me, the last good day, John, was the day Trump got COVID.
For
and
sure.
And everyone was like, okay, all right.
Hope he dies.
Let's see what happens. Well, exactly. And I feel like
guy is dead now.
The next good day online will be when that does happen.
Oh, it's gonna be good.
It's gonna be really, really incredible. But I think that, to me, that was the last like actual good day. And it's just like so few and far between now, right? Especially on Twitter.
Oh God. I was trying to think of like the last good day, and I think I know what it was for me. And it was such a specific thing. I guess a bit, you know, heavier than the ones that have been listed so far, but there was, when Me Too first started happening, social media for one brief second, and it was real brief, was awesome. It was like all of these women, all of these survivors being listened to for the first time ever, and then it immediately went away. And then it was just like, Me Too has gone too far. We're believing too many women. Yeah. What? We hate it. But that to me, I think, was such a snapshot that I remember being like, we can talk about this shit. People will actually care. They will actually listen. They will not, you won't have 15 comments deep. Pussy in bio didn't exist yet, you know? It was a good time. It was a good time.
Well, I feel like, speaking of pussy in bio, that's kind of, you know, talking about the internet sort of collapsing. Really, porno is still the only thing that it's still good.
It's still good, but
like internet porno, they're just like, you know what? You can still find it real easy.
Even the bots, I think, are ruining that, because, like, I mean,
imagine, though, Stefan?
Well, but imagine if you're like a 70-year-old guy.
Are you like, I'm seeing too much pussy. I'm seeing too much pussy in bio.
Imagine if
you're real defensive about porno right now.
I know. Imagine if you're like a 70-year-old guy and you do get that reply and you click on it and then all of your credit card information gets stolen.
Mm.
So I think that's the, again, everything is a scam now, right? Like even porno is a scam now. But it is insane. I will occasionally go check out Twitter, and the sheer amount of bots on there, and not just porno bots, but like crypto bots, like investment bots.
It's one every tweet now. Every single time I tweet, there's a pussy in bio. There's a something.
It's crazy.
Weird crypto ad or something.
And not even big accounts, right? Like everyone gets those bots in their replies.
Yeah.
It's just
everybody.
It's,
and it didn't used to be like that. I almost never got a bot. And then also some of the bots are more sophisticated. Depending on what you tweet about, I'll like get some weird reply and I'll like text a friend and they're like, oh yeah, that's a new bot too. And I'm like, what? It's so specific. It like almost sounds real.
Wow. Yeah.
You know what I mean? That you're just like, who's this person being a dick? This hardly makes sense. And they're like, oh yeah, that's a bot too. And I'm like, great. What a fun place to write for free.
It's very funny.
How am I doing this?
And I think I've raised this point before, but like when Elon bought Twitter, he was like, we're going to fix the bot problem. And
it's
everyone
way worse now.
Well, yeah, everyone normal
bots.
Yeah, everyone normal was like, what bot problem? What are you talking about? Like there aren't really any bots on here. And it's because he was looking at it from his perspective. Because there were tons of bots in his replies, because all of his fans are total morons who fall for bot posts, right? And so he thought it was a way bigger problem than it was. And then I don't know what happened exactly to cause it to blow up. I guess it's because he bought it. All of his fans joined Twitter and they're all such credulous rubes that everyone was like, we're going to just pay, you know, $5, $8 a month or whatever to have a verified checkmark on our bot.
Did you say they're credulous rubes, as though like you have like credit for them, like you think they're good?
Do you think that's what that means?
Credulous?
Yeah.
Yes.
What do you mean? This is okay. Hold on. Having or showing too great a readiness to believe things. Aren't you a teacher?
Credulous? That's not credulous rubes.
What? That completely. Dan, back me up here. Doesn't that fit?
Yeah, Stefan's right.
John, you're a teacher.
not anymore. I quit.
So apparently
I'm
not.
I guess I'm getting stupider. I guess I'm getting dumber. This is like the defaming. This is like the defaming scandal.
Yeah. But yeah, I think, I don't know, Lane, do you get like a ton of bot replies when you post, or is it just kind of the regular amount?
No, I feel like it's just like one or two per thing. I tried blocking them, but then it's like, I don't know, it's not worth it at all.
Yeah.
But I do kind of like blocking Twitter ads, and it can be anybody who advertises on Twitter. I will just immediately block them. Hmm. I get some kind of thrill from it, just knowing like, no, this didn't work. It wasn't worth it. Goodbye. Yeah.
Well, that's fun too, because you get weirder ads the more you block, right?
Maybe they all seem weird to me. It's not like you're blocking Chase Bank.
Now
it's
they
like,
are. It
now
used
they
to
are.
Be if you blocked a bunch, you would just get like some guy with 7 followers promoting his tweet about how he ate a McDonald's French fry off the floor or whatever.
And
he'd be like,
and now that's
cool.
Every promoted tweet.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really work as well anymore, but that's how it used to work. It's so funny how that entire website was just like killed in like less than a year. And we kind of joked about it. We're like, how bad is it going to be? Like how
everybody joked about it. Cause it was like, oh, this is going to kill it. But then you're kind of like, you can't kill our spirits. And it's like, oh, you definitely can.
Oh, they absolutely can. Very easily did. As soon as he did the thing where he was holding the sink in the Twitter office and he was like, let that sink in. I was like, oh, I want to kill myself now. This fucking sucks. This is awful.
I mean, that was kind of my cool, that was sort of when I thought it got good again.
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, it was. I mean, because that's a good bit, you know.
It's, yeah, fair
that's
enough.
That's a really good bit. You're just kind of saying, hey, we call this a sink.
I didn't want to do this for my social media update, but can I show the computer that I got on video here?
Oh, yeah. We talked about this.
We talked about
on
this
the
a while
last
ago.
Blocked Party episode yeah. that we did before yeah. we did Freaky February.
Let me go grab this. John, do you want to explain to Lane?
Oh,
maybe?
Boy. So how do you explain something that you have no respect for? Well, Lane.
Well, I just explained Twitter. It's fine.
True.
You can do it.
Stefan has a Twitch stream called the Go Off Kings, and a gaming laptop company wanted to give Stefan a free laptop for some reason.
I still don't know why.
And so what Stefan did, being the credulous rube that he is.
Nicely done.
Thank you. He decided, you know what, I could make some money off of this. And so him and his co-host auctioned off space, because the gaming laptop company said, we can put whatever you want on like the back of this or like the cover of this laptop.
Okay.
So they sold space on the cover of their gaming laptop to be like, hey, if you donate this amount of money to our Twitch stream, you can put something on the laptop. And so it ended up in this collage of horrors.
It's so bad.
So yeah, anyway, Stefan, you have the laptop.
I have the laptop now. I'm holding it right now. We did not think this would happen.
Come on.
No.
Maybe you didn't think this would happen.
No, I mean, we didn't think they would actually go.
Viewers.
No, we knew it was
going to
be a total shit show. We knew it was going to look awful.
Yeah.
So this is a laptop that, like, I legitimately don't think I can use this in public because
definitely can't.
It looks so horrendous. Yeah. I'm going to hold this up now. If you're watching this, here you go.
Yeah, you can watch our episodes on YouTube, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah. It's
like
really
something out of like early internet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, really, it does almost look like something like Maddox would post. Or,
it's really bad. Yeah. And it did. They cut off this side here. There's supposed to be more stuff on this side. There was that picture of George Bush where he's like, miss me yet. There was a sticker that said Italian, like I'm Italian and I'm loud and proud or something.
I saw a coexist bumper sticker on
it. There's a coexist bumper sticker.
Mm-hmm. That's probably the least heinous thing on it.
I think it is. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I like the I drink wine and I know things.
I was so mad when someone paid for that. There's the flying spaghetti
really
monster. There's my cat wearing one of my hats, which I do kind of like that. Let's see.
You got Lin-Manuel on there too.
Lin-Manuel's on there biting his lip.
Oh yeah, you got the gif of the kid doing the Derek
Jeter doing the
respect
thing. We have Salt Bae there.
Salt Bae, and he's cool.
Two separate Wall Street Bet Reddit logos, which fucking are so bad.
That's the worst thing on there for me.
I think it might be. It's not. Yeah, it's not good. But the laptop itself is great. So thank you to Origin for that. It's very funny. You can see here, they did put their logo on the cover.
So, if I were them, I would not
I was
going to
say they wanted credit.
Apparently. Yeah.
They want to be associated with it. They're like, yeah.
Yeah.
We let this happen.
Yeah. But I mean, when we were telling them what was going to happen and we were like, just so you know, it's going to look really insane. And they were like, no, we love this. This is great. And you know, apparently they did. So, thank you, Origin.
Well,
there's the update.
The one nice thing about that, though, is like at least it is a company that's understanding what you do.
Yes.
Because it does feel like a lot of times when you have this, like, and Lane, you probably go through this too, where like you have this clear online niche and then someone wants to work with you and then they're like, yeah, we're not interested in what you do and how you've gotten successful. We have an idea of what success is and we would like you to do that instead.
Yeah.
Right. Or they'll be like, why don't you bring your like lean morness to this thing that you would never say or do? And you're like, what? Say that again. I don't.
Yeah. Or the classic thing of just like, oh, just make the post go viral. Just do like a viral post. You know?
Yes. If we could do that, every single one of our posts would go viral.
That would be great.
Especially in 2024. Oh, God.
Well, it's like impossible now, I think. But yeah, I mean,
I had one today go viral.
Whoa.
Okay. I was stunned. I don't think I've had we still have them sometimes, but not like it used to be where it was like, but even then now I'm like, remember when going viral was fun?
Yeah.
It's not, I mean, it's not anymore.
It's not it now. I don't like anymore. It. Now no. When I go viral, I'm like, oh no, I don't want to do this. It's like, it used to be a kind of a thrill. Like, cool. My work will be shared and I'll get some more followers. And now it's like, people are going to steal this. They're going to post it on Instagram without credit. People are going to be like, hey, isn't this your tweet, Lane? And I'm going to have to like go into their DMs and be like, can you please remove them? This is not fun anymore. There's going to be a bunch of replies from people who are like absolutely don't get it and just want to be a dick.
Yeah. And then and have the blue check, that. Of course, right? Because right. they're have the blue check. Yeah.
So they're going to get all this, you know, attention from other blue check people who also didn't get it. And none of them follow me. They don't even go here. I'm going to try to block them, but it's like swatting away flies. I it's not fun anymore.
It's not. I mean, I think I've tried to get nicer online in general, and maybe that's just why I'm posting less, I guess. But I think
you're lame now, dude. You're washed, man.
I know. I think I am. But the internet, I think, just has kind of gotten like meaner the past. Well,
that's part of it
too.
It felt like when you used to go viral, it was like, oh my god, everybody loves me.
Yeah, and now you're just like, wait.
All these replies are like, you're so funny. This is amazing. Whatever. And
now it's like, yeah,
it's not worth it. Cause even if you go viral, it's like half the people like it. And the other half are just like either quote retweeting you to like disagree with you or spite you. And all the top replies are blue check. So it's all the worst people at the top of the replies. Like it just stinks.
No, it's truly. Yeah, no. It's just not fun anymore. And I really, and I do feel like that makes me want to post less, because I'm like, well, why am I posting? Because look, best case scenario, it goes viral, but that's actually now the worst case scenario. So what's happening? If I don't even want something to like blow up. I can't remember what tweet it was, but I did have a tweet one time, I think not long ago, that blew up like really big. Not one mean thing was said. It was like watching the birth of an angel or something, just like otherworldly. Like, I didn't know this was real. Okay. Wow. Like I kind of scanned. I was like, this can't be, this doesn't happen now. Even the quote tweets, no one was a dick. I was like, this can't happen again. I'm sure this won't. This is a freak incident. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. A rare oasis in the Twitter desert.
Really? Nobody thought of something horribly awful they could twist this into to just ruin my day. I don't know if everybody's asleep. Like the mean people are taking a break. I don't know.
The blue check stuff has really just made it such, because like those were the replies from like stupid people who don't get things or are rude or don't get it and are rude. And they would show up at the bottom of the replies, or they'd be like, oh, click here to see the bad posts. They'd be hidden by that. And now they're all at the top. So to scroll, you have to scroll down to see any decent replies. Exactly.
And
yeah.
That like, you know, and it's kind of dumb and it's like, whatever, who cares? But it's so interesting because you used to see a reply from a blue check and you're like, oh, like a notable person or whatever, or something like that. And now the brain shift of like, oh, it's a blue check, ignore it. Like, it's so wild to me. Because I remember when it was like, oh, is this a famous person? Who is this? And now I'm just like, no. It's probably the worst person you've ever read.
It's legitimately impressive to take like an icon or like a brand that is, like, most people are familiar with, and most people are like, oh, I know what that means. That's like a notable person. And to completely turn it on its head, to now you see it and you're like, oh, that's like a complete,
it's literally a troll. Yeah. It's like literally a troll with like 30 followers.
Yeah.
It's who now really is creating this underworld. I don't know.
It's legitimately, I think, impressive to rebrand something in that short of a period of time.
All of a sudden, the NBA All-Star Game is the 20 worst players in the NBA. I remember when being an All-Star used to mean something.
But has the same name. It's like All-Stars for being bad, but it's not in the name. So you just have to like do a shift in your brain. It's so strange. And I remember the day my check went away. And I didn't mean to rhyme with that and sound like, oh, this is the song I'm writing about Twitter.
Oh, right? There you go. Yes.
I remember the day my check went away. Wow. Amazing.
There's definitely people on Twitter who have done some kind of parody.
For sure. I mean, we were looking up parody songs last week for an episode we did.
Oh, that was rough.
And we were looking up parodies of Sweet Caroline. And they were, I would say, all of them
exclusively
were exclusively about COVID-19. So everyone, there are a lot of COVID-19 parody songs.
But that doesn't even really work unless it was COVID-9, sweet COVID-9, sweet COVID-19.
They're doing sweet quarantine.
Yeah.
That's what
it works.
Well,
no.
It's like, it ends in the same three letters. No, it's like,
work.
But
That's not a comparable rhyme.
I mean, none of them worked at all.
Stefan, we also manipulate like a word to fit.
Yeah. If it doesn't fit, I'm like, you failed. Start again.
Yeah.
Well, it makes me so mad.
Yeah, we failed, I guess, then.
But I think like with the parody song
Did you do one or no?
That was we had one to do one for the episode, but it wasn't a COVID one.
We had to write a parody song because that's one of our friends does a podcast where you have to come on and you have to write a song in 30 minutes.
Yeah, the person who did our opening theme song.
Yeah, Howell Dottie, and it's fun, and it involves like he plays all the instruments and whatever, and like you write the song, and then he goes and records it before the episode comes out, and then we obviously were not good enough at music, so we did a parody song, of Sweet Caroline about having to shit really bad, and so we call instead of Sweet Porcelain, we said Sweet Porcelain.
No, but see that succeeds.
Oh, okay,
because we changed the pronunciation.
To me, it succeeds because you changed the pronunciation. Okay, I'm talking about like when the word doesn't rhyme, doesn't fit the cadence. Yeah. I'm like, no, you failed. I would much rather somebody do Sweet Porcelain than be like Sweet Porcelain. It's the same last three letters. I'm like, Sweet Porcelain was right there.
Yeah. I think that's what happened with the quarantine ones is no one sang Sweet Quarantine, which like
you could. It's a little cheap, but who cares? It sounds better than that.
I don't know what, I mean, I know we all went crazy in COVID, but I don't know what it was for a particular subset of people who are like, the version of crazy I'm going through is I'm making parody songs in my home and shooting videos for them. And
yeah. It's a combination of being stuck at home. And then there definitely were like, you look at like the Holderness family or like the other people who make like popular parody songs, like those would go semi-viral. And then you have people stuck at home who would be like, oh, I can do my own version of this easily. And they can't. I mean, the Holderness ones are bad too. And there were just like so many of them. But it was legitimately really surprising looking up the other Sweet Caroline parody songs. And they are, I legitimately think all of them are about COVID-19.
All the ones we saw were,
Yeah.
That's crazy. Really and none weird. Of them did quarantine. Now again, still bad, but better.
Well, one of them was like Sweet Corona, I think.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Just not even
Sweet Corona.
Awful. It sounds so bad. It sounds bad.
Yeah. And it has like 4 million views.
It's awful. You don't have to be so on the nose. One time when I was bored, I wrote a parody of Uptown Girl called Uptown Squirrel. And it was about a squirrel who was dating someone who lived uptown because I was bored at a doctor's visit. It doesn't have to make sense, but it does have to fit the rhyme scheme.
Yes. That's the important.
I think about Uptown Squirrel all the time.
Uptown Squirrel is really good. I think the thing that's good about something like that is you hear the title and you're like, oh, like I know, I kind of know what this is going to be.
I kind of know what it is.
My own version of it, but that's great. You know, like
I'm invested in this squirrel and it's just like dumb enough and makes little enough sense and doesn't make enough sense. It's just right in the sweet spot.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great.
But I wasn't like, this must go viral. I've made a masterpiece. No. It's just like, I do those things for myself. And I'm like, oh, this is funny.
Those are the best things is when you do something that you find funny and then other people find it funny as well. It's like, okay, that's great.
And what I ended up doing, instead of being like, I'm going to put this on Spotify, which I guess I could have or whatever, but I didn't write the whole thing. But I like tweeted about it and that tweet blew up because it was such a silly, stupid idea. So that's the stuff I like about Twitter, I think, is when you can just be like, I had this really dumb, funny idea. Especially when it's like that wholesome and you're like, this is fun. And people are like, it is fun. And you're like, great. I'm going to go on with my day. That's social media at its best. It's like, here's a fun thing. It is fun. And then we all leave.
Yeah. I mean, it's better than the alternative, which is making your kids run around your house doing what you tell them to do so that you can have a cool quote unquote cool parody video. I feel like people's kids are
you're
in
involving
so many
the kids
of them.
In it, it's
it's not a good.
It's not good. Yeah.
No, I see those TikToks too that are just like people being horrible parents, and I'm like,
oh my God.
I did not join this godforsaken app to like watch abuse. It's so weird. You know what I mean? When you see like parents where you're like, this is going to be talked about in therapy in 20 years. This is really, I don't want to see that this exists, and they think it's like for views. It's like a child's life. I don't think that's being precious to be really upset by that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Totally not. It's like people used to have kids so that they had people to work on the farm, and now they're having kids so they can work on the content farm.
Yeah.
It's right, like, oh God.
It's so weird.
We should probably have a third kid because that would be three looks really good in TikToks. So we should probably do that.
Yeah, three's really hot right now on the metrics or whatever.
People are telling us the fact we have two is just so 1990s.
It's not performing well.
Yeah, the
it's
sort of nuclear family, the $1 million family thing. It's kind of that's very passé. You got to go with three or five. Even numbers are out as well. Four is out. So don't have twins.
You know, it's fun too to be able to be an adult and be like, my parents had me for content. That's cool.
It's
going to be fine for them, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's just totally, they're going to grow up so normally. I can't wait for all of those profiles in like 10 or 20 years from now where it's all these like emotionally stunted children because their parents made them like, we filmed Bath Time for 2 years. Like, oh, cool.
They had me do some cover of some like filthy song in a funny way at three. Like, wait, what? They're like, yeah, it did perform pretty well. I'm like, great. Okay.
So happy about that. Speaking of Bath Time, let's move on to our social media updates.
What a fucking good segue. Now let's move on. It's time to discuss what popped up in your feed. Who are you following? What did you see? Sports or politics, tweets and skis, hot takes on the TL of fast food freaks. It's our social media update.
Lane, we always like to start with the guest. What's going on your social media?
So I post a lot, especially like lately, you know, I'll post about like, mental health stuff, just like struggling with mental health stuff. And something that I've noticed lately, is there'll be somebody who like, I'll post something about, you know, like a joke, but a serious thing about struggling with mental health or struggling to be able to like, I don't know, put together like a dope outfit every day, which I used to be able to do. And now I'm just like, I'm exhausted. The world is so, you know, a lot. And there'll be somebody who will reply like, I used to feel that way. And now I don't let my hard days define me. I push past through them and like girl boss my way through it. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. I don't want to hear from you. Why would you say that? I'm posting something about trying to be honest about struggling to get through a hellscape, which is the present day, and like trying to make people feel connected, trying to, it's a vulnerable thing to tweet about. I found a way to make it a joke. And you have to just be like, you struggle with stuff. I don't anymore because I just like thought positively and I wrote one affirmation and also my dad's rich, but that's not about it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't understand those comments. Like, and I mean, I've started to, I don't know if it's better to like, you know, you could let people go through and like dunk on them or whatever. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I just hide that comment because I don't even want another person to see like, oh, you're struggling with that. That's stupid. You're just not hustling hard enough out of your own mental health struggles. Like, I don't want to hear from that person. And it's so weird that someone like that even follows me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think like not quote tweeting is something that people learn to do. And it's like important to not do that because it's just like, if someone is saying something to get under your skin, or even if someone, if you see a dumb post replying to someone else or whatever, and you're like, I'm going to quote you this person and make fun of them. It's like all you're doing is like 99% of the time, exactly what they want, which is they want their post, you know, shown to a
they
broader audience.
They want it seen,
right?
And that's really what it is. Even if they like you, but that's, it's also like, sometimes you ever have this where like someone's saying something like mean and also like really uninformed, but they follow you and you're like, you know, you don't have to follow me, but also how do you follow me? And like, okay. One that happened to me the other day that like was so strange to me. So I do this comedy show called Tinder Live and I've been doing it almost 10 years. And I say that because A, that's a long time, but B, it's known. So I swipe live through my Tinder and I like go through the most heinous profiles. Like they're just the craziest ones. We don't make fun of anybody's appearance. We don't make fun of anybody who's just like nice and normal. It's just men's profiles who are being nuts. And there's so many of those.
There's a lot of those. Yeah.
A lot of those. Right. And you know, because you've seen it, right? So like,
I know because I am one.
Right. But some men don't know that that's what women are looking at. And they're like, you must be like, one of the things that I hear from people who've never seen my show and like, don't follow me and don't know anything, or we'll just be like, that sounds mean. You're making fun of these wonderful men who are all angels. How could you do this? And it's like, okay, you have never seen men on dating apps. A, that's all I'm hearing from this. Two, you don't know my show. Like, it's literally like 50 news outlets have been like, I'm shocked at how kind this is. When you work really hard to make something really kind. And like, then I had somebody yesterday being like, how are you making the inner, like, swiping a good experience for people if you're just making fun of others? And I'm like, and there was a part of me that wanted to quote tweet, because obviously this person's never seen my show, doesn't know what they're talking about, saw one flyer for a touring show and wanted to be a dick, even though they follow me. So strange. And I wanted to quote tweet and be like, literally, I'm calling out toxicity on dating apps. I can't think of anything that would be better for the swiping experience than to have men know what not to say, what not to do, what's coming off really horribly. To have women know that they're not the only ones seeing this garbage on there. I don't know that anything is making swiping a better experience than what my show does. But then I didn't want to give it any credence. I didn't want to give this person a platform for something that's like, again, almost 10 years. If that's what I was doing, I wouldn't have a show and it'd be really boring. But I think that's something that I get really frustrated by, when it's, you just get these drive-by people who think they know what you do and they don't even care to look it up, and they just like want to throw hate at you. And you're like, do I quote tweet them and have other people go after them, or do I just block them because they're barely a real person? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
totally. Yeah. I've gotten to the point, not that this is like the same, but I have a curling Twitter. And like, sometimes people will, I know
he does,
that sounds
he really
crazy.
Does.
I know he does.
I have a curling Twitter, and it has, you know, pretty good. I'm just shy of 7,000 followers. So it's like, it's, you know, it's not huge, but it's not small, for, especially for curling. And like, I've gotten to the point where if someone has kind of like an incendiary reply to me, if they don't follow me, because this also happens too, I'm like, oh, you don't even follow me? You don't register to me. It's like, don't talk to me. You don't get to have an opinion if you're not even fucking following me.
I do the same thing. It's so funny. That was one of the things that I was actually going to talk about in this episode. I'm so glad that you said it, because I always call those like, you don't even go here. Like, you don't even go to this school. You just showed up on my doorstep and like are saying stuff to me. But then it's almost weirder when they do follow you, because you're like, you do know, like, if I'm writing books about like mental health and loneliness and kindness and more empathy, how the hell could that reality exist in a world where I'm just like taking the nicest men in the world and roasting them? Like, just use two brain cells and put them together, person who follows me.
Yeah.
But they're blocked, immediately blocked. So, and yeah. I don't have the energy. Why am I arguing with somebody who like just wanted to ruin my day for no reason? It's weird.
It's crazy.
No,
it's crazy.
I don't have that impulse with other people.
What is, Lane, we've had some people on the show that do, you know, dating app adjacent things. You know, we've had Erica Guida on here who does swipes for daddy, which is super funny. Like, what is, you know, you're looking at, you say you, like a lot of mostly nice guys. What's like, I'm curious, cause I haven't been on dating apps in a decade, but what's like a low key? So I think obviously people know some like toxicity things when they see them, but like, what is like a low key thing you see a lot that like people who are listening maybe wouldn't think is like, ooh, that's a real red flag. But like, what's something you see a lot where you're like, oh no, that is definitely not good.
So I started during the pandemic, I started making over people's dating app profiles.
Okay.
And if people want to get that, I do that on my website. I love doing it, because what's so funny is I've talked to so many men and women. It's been interesting to talk to them and work with them and be like, oh, you literally don't know this is toxic and you're a nice person. And it's so funny. Like, even sometimes during Tinder Live, we'll swipe right on somebody who seems really toxic and they're really cool. They just didn't know. But the biggest thing they all do is the yelling in their profile. So many profiles are yelling at you, where it's like, first of all, don't waste my time. I'm not here to spend a million, you know, messages back and forth and whatever. If you actually want to meet, my time is valuable. And I'm like, what an attractive person. I love that you're already yelling at me. We're already in a fight. Like, what? How would that be sexy? Like, if somebody came up to you on the street and they were hot and they just started saying that to you, you'd run. It doesn't matter how hot they were. Like, we're done. You're already complaining about something I haven't even done yet.
Yeah.
And the thing is, and this is like the basis for like so much of Tinder Live, is I think that unless somebody is like openly like sexist, racist, homophobic, all these things, I think people just don't really see how they're being perceived. Like, the person who writes that is like, oh, I'm so sick of people who waste my time.
Yeah.
And they're trying to avoid that. But like, yelling at a woman you don't know yet is not the answer to that. And there's so many profiles like that, that will be even more heinous. It'll be like, no fatties. I don't give a shit about your stupid kid. I'm not trying to raise a kid. Or there'll be, or one of my favorites too, will be like, why are you women posting photos of you, group photos, where you're the ugliest one? And I'm like, again, I'm not dying to talk to you. I don't care. Like, and what's crazy is men do that too. We have a segment on Tinder Live called Which One Is It? Where we guess who we're even trying to have sex with, because you don't know. There's like 12 Anthonys or 16 Jamies. You don't know who it is. So like, all genders do this, but like, yeah, some guys will make it this gender thing. Like, all women do this stupid women thing. And it's like, there's too much to unpack here. And it's like, you know, they're venting. I've even seen some, it's much more rare, but sometimes women will have something in their profile. Like one woman, I worked on her profile. I don't remember what it was specifically, but it was something just like, please, like know this, know this, know this. And I'm like, I know you're trying to like weed out what you don't want, but it's just hard for it not to sound like yelling. Like, don't be this. Don't you be this. Don't you be this. I feel like even a person who checks off all those boxes isn't going to be like excited to talk to you.
Yeah, you know? Totally. Well, it's funny when you brought that up. One thing I remembered that's kind of adjacent to this, and where it's not necessarily yelling, but I always used to find like some people would put in their bios like, yeah, like I'm just like so busy and I like barely check this. If I don't get back to you in a week, it's like, it's not because I don't like you. It's because I just like barely am on here and I like barely. And it's like, okay, well then I'm not interested. Like, it's the same kind of thing. It's like someone, if you met someone in public and they're like, I don't know, I think you're hot, but also like, I'm just so busy.
Busy right now. I'm never on here. Like, that's not making me want you more. Do you think that's what it's doing? Like, oh, bro, he's so busy and he's never on here. I hope I win. Like, no, I'm not going to compete for you because I know nothing about you other than you're a man with a face.
Yeah.
Like, you can't say that stuff when there's no one. And that's the other thing. So many men's profiles will be like, you better be like this. None of this. You better do this. You will not give you a single reason why they're worth it. Not a single, like, here's what I bring to the table. It's just a list of demands from whatever woman.
This is what you need to be to earn me. But you don't know what I've got. But
you have no idea what I've got. But you better earn it because you're a woman and I'm a man and I think I have power here. Also, it's interesting. Those guys' profiles are still on Tinder. I wonder why. Hard to know. You're still there? I'm stunned. No one scooped you up, pile of demands with no other info.
Stefan, I know that your social media update is also sort of along the maybe fraudulent internet.
This is a form of catfishing, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. Dan, maybe you can get the website up there for us. But this was I'm sure people have seen this by now. If you look at the website itself and the tab, it says,
this is incredible. Lane, have you seen this?
I haven't seen this.
Oh, okay.
It looks real enough and fake enough.
Yeah. Yes. So basically what happened is in, I think Glasgow, there's something called the Willy's Chocolate Experience. The tab says Willy chocolate spelled wrong experience. Indulge in a chocolate fantasy like never before. Capture the enchantment. And then a singular exclamation point down below that for some reason. Tickets to Willy's Chocolate Experience are on sale now. Now, this is all, I would say entirely AI generated from the images.
Where are you looking, Stefan? Because Dan doesn't have that up. Did you click on experience?
Dan has it up.
It is up. Are you fucking blind, John?
No, which part were you reading? I didn't see any of this.
Indulge in a chocolate fantasy, like at the top there.
Oh,
okay. The header. Yeah. So this is all AI generated for sure. Like all the images, definitely, all the text, definitely. And basically what happened is a bunch of families paid like $45 US to go to this. And it was really not good. I do have a link, Dan, to what it actually looked like. Well, first of all, we can look at some of the AI stuff, because what's really interesting to me here is it's like not even well done. It's a lot of spelling errors. The Imagination Lab says Imagination Lab, Twilight Tunnel.
Paradise, it says Pasadice of Sweet Teats instead of Paradise of Sweet Treats.
Yeah, I think at one point it's supposed to say Enriching Entertainment. It says Enshrining Entertainment, Catgagating, Live Performances, Karchi Tons, Exarsordray. I don't even know what that is.
I don't either.
Extraordinary? Oh, maybe extraordinary lollipops.
Captivating.
Yeah. That's captivating.
Captivating, I guess.
Oh, it's supposed to be tons. It's supposed to be oversized. If you look at the text on the side here. Yeah, oversized lollipops.
Or maybe sweet teats.
Oversized somehow got turned into Exarsordray.
Oh, it got combined with extraordinary props, oversized lollipops into extraordinary lollipops, which is now Exarsordray lollipops.
Oh my God.
And again, yes, a passive dice.
Now, I will
sweet
say, I have been to something like this, not the Willy Wonka thing, but there was like a company in I think they run in more cities than just Vancouver called Hidden, where they would do like a Harry Potter bar or whatever.
Yes, I've heard of things. Is it similar in terms of the catfishing?
No. So Becca and I did the Christmas one. It was like we have specialty Christmas cocktails and we've decorated this bar like Christmas. And like it wasn't like the best thing I've ever done, but it was cool. It was like they truly had like decked out the bar in tons of Christmas shit, and they had like, you know, mulled cider and like all that kind of stuff. But it was just like in a bar on Granville. So it's like a bar I've been to before. I think it was in the top of where the Irish Heather used to be. I can't remember what the name of it is now, but it's just like, I've been in this bar before. This isn't like some kind of special thing, but it was like, whatever, it's Christmas.
Yeah.
It was a fine date. Like these things do exist already. So to me, it's like, I wouldn't be sucked in by this because of all the spelling mistakes and the fact that there's no real pictures of
real
the
photos
thing
whatsoever.
But I can also see how like, yeah, we've done these kinds of things before. Sure. We've gone to these like theme whatever's experiences.
You can see how people could maybe get fooled. And I mean, one of the red flags is that there's no refunds whatsoever in any situation at all. If you scroll down, Dan, I think also maybe this is a bit of a red flag too, is that the location is just Box Hub Warehouse.
Yes.
So that is maybe a bad sign. Dan, I'm going to send you a post here of what it actually ended up looking like. And
I'm so excited for Lane to see this.
It's really, so it, yeah, if you click the second picture there, that's part of it. There's a big rainbow.
Oh, this looks like the TSA on like a particularly sassy day.
Yeah. It's not great. Whatever. And there's the only Oompa.
So
there's the only Oompa Loompa there.
Yeah, this is supposed to be the Oompa Loompa lab or something.
Did she get in a fire?
I think she's supposed to be making like candy or something.
Is she a reanimated corpse?
It's not a great, she does not want to be there clearly. And then, yeah, I think the last
she
image.
She looks like she was resurrected.
Yeah. Oh, no. And then the last image is AI images printed out and hung up on just like blank walls. And you can take a picture in front of them, I guess. So this got so bad.
It's not even tall enough.
No, I know.
You'd have to like squat.
Yeah. This got so bad that like parents were calling the cops on the people who put it together.
Good.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, it's such a total shit show. And it does sort of, it is a really good example of, again, what the internet is like now and what real life is like now as well, too.
You got to go down, Stefan. You got to find the one I posted today where they were talking about how they had like invented the Willy Wonka villain or whatever.
Yes, there is a video of that, I think, actually. I don't know if that's in the thread or not, but they invented a villain.
Yeah.
Here it is.
So made up a villain called the Unknown.
Yeah.
It's the Unknown.
And I guess there's a guy playing Willy Wonka.
I love the no.
Yeah.
I echo the no.
Yeah.
No.
Poor, I mean,
and
poor
he's
kids.
Like going outside of a Walmart wall mirror. Like he was coming outside of like a wall hanging mirror that's like $15. He's like, that was, by the way, too short for him, but okay.
Yes. Yeah, it's a
and
really
I
small
love,
mirror.
It, this sounds fake. Like, Dan, can you go up for a sec? This last sentence where, made up a villain called the Unknown, an evil chocolate maker who lives in the walls. And then event had no chocolate. Kids were given a single jelly bean and a cup of lemonade.
Yeah, they were told that there was going to be a room that had rivers of lemonade in it. And then you went in there and it was like a little like Dixie cup, like a little paper cup you get at the doctor or whatever.
Like, just pretend this is a river.
Yeah.
You're a kid. You've got an imagination still.
Exactly. You've got an imagination.
Yeah, you've got an imagination. Yeah.
So it's obviously, you know, I feel bad for the kids and the families, but this is very funny. And it does remind me of that Tumblr convention a few years ago, DashCon, where there was like the ball pit in the center of the room. So it's good to see. I mean, it's bad that this is happening, but at the same time, this sort of thing is never going to stop happening, especially with AI now. Because I mean, they did a horrible job. The website looks like total shit, but people fell for it. So, and if people actually use like good AI to fool people, it's just going to be, it's going to be a disaster. But yeah, the Willy chocolate experience.
What I think is kind of good about this is that you have so many people out there who like are deeply not in touch with how harmful AI can be. And yes. They love to talk about how pro AI they are. They love AI. They're like, yeah, AI is great. Oh, you people who don't like it, you just don't get the future. I like to think that at least half people who bought these tickets are those people on Twitter. And it makes me feel a little bit better. You know what I mean? Where it's just like, this is what it leads to. Like, how can you not see that? You think you're like a tech visionary. You don't realize this is like screwing over so many artists, and this is so scammy, and this is so dangerous. And they're like, no, 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 it's the future. I'm like, fine, go to this haunted Willy Wonka douche nightmare. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it is. Yeah. It is the future in that the future is all scams. Everything in the future is scams.
So. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. If that's the future you want, enjoy paying $50 for a Dixie cup of emergent nursing lemonade or whatever. Fine.
John?
Well, there was a few things in the running because we've been off for a month. I was very close to doing the Will Wheaton Elmo post, but that's almost like too depressing to even read on here.
Yeah.
So instead, this is our friends at Minion Death Cult found this one. And if you don't listen to their show, it's fantastic. We just had Tony on a couple weeks ago. They kind of, their whole thing is they scan Facebook. So they find a lot of crazy groups on Facebook and whatever. And of course they follow the rock band Trapped. Lane, I don't know if you're a Trapped head.
I am absolutely not. I don't know what Trapped is.
Trapped is the...
I'm free, I guess.
God bless you. You have certainly heard their big hit Headstrong. Yeah. Headstrong, what? I'll take you on back to take on anyone. Anyway.
I guess so. Okay, yeah. Maybe like in Target or something.
Bless you for not knowing at all. They had a couple years ago a very right-wing turn they had a very right-wing turn on social media. They were one of the first bands to join Truth Social and Rampage or whatever the other ones are. And so obviously this is a venue that knows that about Trapped. So we've talked about Trapped on this show before. We found that they're like still touring America, but they're playing like very depressing bars across America. What was the name of the one we found in Wisconsin, Stefan? I was trying to think of it.
Oh, shit.
And because someone
really tiny, right?
Just it was like a 150 seat venue. It was really ugly, but it was like cool. It was like a Wisconsin staple, apparently. Anyway, we found that. And so Trapped has been a character on this show before. Obviously, this venue knows about Trapped, doesn't want them to play here. And then Trapped, as they do, kind of calls them out for like woke. So Trapped is sharing this on Facebook. Right. I ask these cowards to explain their reasons for being the only venue in a year and a half and over 150 shows to boycott Trapped. And of course, like the intolerant people they are, they say nothing. I would expect nothing less from people like this. They are announcing this for attention and have no reason they give for boycotting. So this is the post from the booking manager of this venue. And right away, I love it because it starts with, "Hello, Mr. Trapped."
Mr. Trapped.
which is really a great way that you could start this off. "Hello, Mr. Trapped. I am the general manager and one of the talent buyers for the venue in question. I was not the one who booked this specific package. However, I would like to clarify that the tour package was only accepted by our venue under the pretense that Trapped would not be coming to our date." So that's the other thing that Trapped does, is they'll tour with other
popular
like one-hit wondery butt rock bands from that time period to try to sell a few more tickets. "We did not receive any emails that convinced us to make this decision. It was made entirely of our own volition. P.S. Now that I have your attention, I would very much like to stop receiving emails asking to book your band once every 2 to 3 weeks. I have real bands to book, and my index finger hurts from clicking the delete button on all of your messages. Cheers." Really good.
Really quickly, to piggyback off of this, I looked up Trapped on Wikipedia just right now, And they have a whole section on their Wikipedia just called social media use. So I got into
that's
that.
That's a bad sign.
That's a real bad sign. So I got right into it. And it says, in November 2020, Spin reported that Facebook had deleted Trapp's page on the grounds of hate speech.
Yes.
And then in December 2020, just a month later, they thought they were defending statutory rape when the lead singer said he would high-five any 15-year-old boy who had sex with a 25-year-old female teacher. And then when people called them out, he said, it was just his thoughts on the double standard between how men need to treat women versus the other way around. All I can say, I'm dying to see his Tinder profile. I guarantee it is wild. Like any guy who's just like, well, you love feminism. Why can't a 15-year-old boy be exploited by a 35-year-old? Why?
Yeah.
You want equality? Well, we should all be raped. Like, what? Oh, what's wrong with you? What a band.
Yeah, they're very cool. So yeah, check them out at the local shit bar near you.
Oh God, there's so much more here. I don't want to, I'm closing
it's a lot. Yeah, it's a lot. It's
too much.
Yeah.
If you want to read Trapp's social media.
No,
and it's a long entry. It's like as long as my Wikipedia. It's like social media.
Oh yeah. Anyway, speaking of being trapped, let's move on to our social Oh my God. Blocktail. I haven't done the show in a month. I forget what the fucking segments are called.
Receipts, Blocktail. Woo. No longer can see the post. It's a Blocktail. Woo. You probably deserved it. It's a Blocktail.
All right, Lane, the floor is yours.
So I have two that I was trying to think of which one to do, but
do one now and save one for the next time you're here.
I think so. All right, wait, let's take a little poll. Okay. Do you want to talk about, I'll throw it to you guys. Do you want to talk about Facebook Marketplace or people who stole your tweet blocking you?
Ooh, Facebook Marketplace always gets really crazy. I would lean towards that
Facebook
one, I think.
Marketplace.
Okay, cool.
Sure.
That's what I thought. Because the other people, I almost am just like, please just disappear into hell.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
All right. I am obsessed with Facebook Marketplace. I use it all the time. I love blocking people on Facebook Marketplace. And by that, I mean like, if I list something on Facebook Marketplace, are either of you on Facebook Marketplace? You ever use it?
I just moved. So I got deep into the marketplace vibes. So yes, okay. I've done my fair share of marketplacing.
Are you still available? Sorry,
am I still what?
Are you still available? I was making a joke about that is what every single person on Facebook Marketplace. Yeah. Is this still available?
Is this still available?
Hello, is this still available?
Yeah.
It is such a hell. And you have to play the game where you're like, this could be a real buyer. It almost assuredly is not. And then Facebook Marketplace didn't used to have a reply. It would like that said like, yes, are you still interested? It would just have like, yes or no. But because they know that this is what everyone was doing and then just like ghosting and wasting people's time, just like exorbitant amounts of people. Now they have, yes, are you still interested? Which is so stupid because if somebody sent it 2 minutes ago, I think the auto reply should be like, yes, when can you pick up or something, right? But anyway, so I had so many of these. If somebody sends me several, like, is this still available? And I'm like, yeah, it is. Like, when can you pick up? Whatever. I type all the stuff back. If they do it enough times or they kind of, we get really close to them picking up and they say something really weird, I'll block them. I just will. Sometimes even if I just feel like something was a little off, but when it came back to bite me was recently when I was trying to figure out something that should go in my room. I had like a wall that was open. I didn't know what should go there. And my friend was like, oh, there's this really cool thing from the 60s. Here's a photo of it. I actually found on a Facebook Marketplace for you. And I was like, great. She sends me the Facebook Marketplace link and I can't open it. And I don't know why. And I was like, oh, that's weird. Like, won't open to anything. And she was like, it's working for me, and like took a screenshot of it. And I was like, I don't know what this is. Like, can you message them for me? This is so weird. Never seen this. So she messaged them for me. After a while, something like clicked in my brain. And I was like, I wonder if the person selling this is someone I've blocked on Facebook Marketplace for some bullshit they pulled. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And I literally was like, this is going to sound weird, but can you send me his name? And I went and looked under my block, and sure enough, he was blocked. So like, I had blocked so many people on Facebook Marketplace that he was actually selling something I really wanted. And I had to unblock him to message him about it. And then I remembered the bullshit that he had said to me in the Facebook thing, where it was like, I had been like, hey, can anybody take away this big thing from my apartment? It's free. You just have to get it out of here. And instead he like sent me a message to be like, we have a hauling company. We'll remove it for like $200. And I was like, go away.
It's not what I'm asking, dude.
Not what I'm asking. And I was like, block, this is scammy. Well, then he sells this thing. And then I have to like be nice. And I'm like, does he know I blocked him? Is he aware? So I'm like, hi, interested in this thing. He didn't write me back, but I see that it was seen. He saw it. And so I asked my friend, I was like, did he write you back either? And she's like, no, he didn't write me back. So I think Facebook Marketplace is so strange that way. But I always wonder, like, the more interactions I have with Facebook Marketplace, what if I block too many people and there's like no one left?
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I really need to sell my couch, and I've blocked everyone on there for being, I don't know. It's just so frustrating. People are like, yes, I am still interested. And you're like, great, when can you pick up? And they're just like,
and you just never hear. Yeah. I know.
Because at some point you're going to have to sell to a weirdo. It's just kind of how it works.
Yeah, it's kind of how it works. With the worst experience we had, because we were selling a bunch of stuff, and this one guy wanted like four of our things. So it was going to add up.
Great.
I think it was going to add up to like $50 or something for all the things he wanted. And so he was already kind of like, hey, can you cut me a deal or something like that? And we're like, yeah, fine. If you take all four of these things, we'll give it to you for $40 or whatever it was we said. I don't remember the exact numbers, but.
Which, by the way, is the other funny thing about this, because we're all playing for such little amounts of money.
Such little
amounts. You're like trying to get somebody to respond to you so you can make $12. Like, all right.
Nate Bargatze has an unbelievable joke about that, where he was like, because, you know, he's a rich and famous comedian, and he's like, you know, my wife loves Facebook Marketplace. He's like, the best case scenario is we get $5.
Yeah.
The worst case scenario is my entire family is murdered. What are we like?
And you have to roll the dice every time. And then you're like, hot screening for that.
Yes.
By the way, what he's talking about is also the way many women feel about Tinder and dating apps.
Totally, of course.
Like, best case scenario, I get a free drink or something. Worst case scenario, he murders me and all my friends.
I maybe get mediocre dick. Maybe that's like the best case scenario.
Totally. That's literally it.
So this guy is like, yeah, I'll take all four of these things or whatever, if you'll give them to me for $40. So we say, fine. So we carry all four of them. And I remember, I think one of them was like a dryer rack for laundry, and it was like a coffee mixer. It was a bit of a thing to like carry them all down. So then he looks at them all, and then he's like, okay, yeah, these are all good. Like, I'll take them all, but I only brought $25. And then we were just like, okay, well, then you can't have this thing and this thing. He's like, really? And we're like, yeah, really? We're already cutting you a deal at $40. He's like, huh, that's really too bad, because, you know, I came here to like make a deal. And I'm like, well, great, that's good for you. How about you fuck off?
That's so funny to just assume, like, oh, I'm here. They're going to just take whatever.
100%. And he was like so shocked that we were just like, okay, well, pick two of the things, and we're taking the two other things back because you didn't bring what we agreed upon.
Can I tell you, I have such a similar story that happened to me the other day.
Oh my God.
That doesn't, you know, directly, I didn't think about it because I haven't blocked him yet, but there was a guy who was like, yeah, I want to pick up this big piece of furniture. Same thing, heavy to carry. And it's a guy. So I'm like, okay, he's probably going to carry this big piece of furniture out to his car himself. Nope. He has me carry it with him. And I'm like, already this kind of sucks. It's really heavy. I'm not this strong. Also, you're not paying me enough to like haul it to your car with you. Yes. I do not have a friend. But you're like, whatever. He's buying it. It's getting out of my place. Fine. And I'm like, oh, I'm glad, you know it'll fit into your car. And he goes, while we're in the midst of walking it a long way, We'll see. We get there. We get all the way to this fucking car. It doesn't fit. And he goes, nah. What? And I was like, you didn't measure this? And he's like, nah. And I was like, this is so horrible. And he was like, well, you know, I could probably get a truck and come back in a couple days. And I was like, well, can you at least pay me half the money? Like, I think that's fair. And he was like, no, no, I'd rather, you know, you sell it to somebody else. And if you can sell it in the meantime, before I can get the truck. And I'm like, what is this? Like, that's so horrible. I feel like legally you have to, even if he had slipped me like a 20, like that was really fucked up. Like, I feel like that's the basic decency. I'm like still reeling from it.
Oh yeah. That's crazy. So did he carry it back up to your place with
we
you?
We had to carry it back up the stairs. It was awful together.
Oh,
and I'm like, yeah, he helped me, but like, I still had to do that both ways and hadn't sold it. And so like, the only reason I haven't blocked him is because I'm like hoping he still actually picks it up. And I don't know if he will. And if this was like, there's also a part of you that's like, did you like get off on this?
Yeah.
Was this like some kind of sick game where you're like, I don't want to see a woman carry a piece of furniture that's way too heavy for her. Like, I don't.
Oh God. Well, we have a great listener block this week as well. This one comes in from Justin, and this one is related to me. This is the title is The Herd Culled Me. So Lane, we do bonus episodes where they're my blocks and it's called Cullen the Herd based on my last name, which is Cullen. And Justin says, I got blocked by the guy who angry quote tweeted and blocked John for saying that Metallica won a Grammy for a song that no one heard. When John called him out with the POD cast account, I replied to that and said, Cullen the Herd, baby. And he blocked me too. I guess the herd called me. This would have never happened if the whole world would follow my advice and pretend that Metallica broke up after Cliff died. Justin. Yeah, so this was a wild... I'm going to get into that full block tale because basically I pestered this guy from four of my different Twitter accounts.
Yeah.
But I had a tweet where, again, this is sort of going back to what we said before. It went semi-viral. It got 3,000 likes, has like 100 replies and a bunch of quote tweets. And it was about Metallica winning, pardon me, the best metal performance Grammy. And so, you know, you don't want Metallica guys in your replies at any moment in time. But yeah. I just wrote, nothing is funnier to me than the Grammy's Best Metal Performance Award. Every year is either won by Metallica or a live performance of a Black Sabbath song they wrote 50 years ago. This year it was Metallica again for a song no one has ever heard. And Metallica won for the song 72 Seasons. And I got a lot of great replies from Metallica fans. That was really good.
Because I think people who still like Metallica's new music as well.
Yes. Yeah. This one guy replied who has his birth year in his profile, and that birth year is 1969. So not surprising. Actually, it's a pretty good selling album and a very successful tour. So I think a lot of people have heard that song, but I get what you're saying. And then I just said, I'm sorry, Metallica fans were made to listen to that song when Metallica was on tour. And then this is a classic one. I got this from a bunch of people. If the Grammys is a joke, then why complain about it? I see every year and it confuses me. Genuine question. If you don't like the court of public opinion, don't listen to it.
Right.
It's like, I wasn't complaining. You think I give a fuck who wins the best metal performance Grammy? I think it's funny. I don't care.
There's a lot of people who can't tell the difference between complaining about something and like making fun of it or just like pointing it out. And that's like a huge issue.
Like, what's funny to me about that is I'm just like, but that's always what they're doing themselves by calling you out for calling something else out. Like, if they didn't like what you said, don't look at it. You know what I mean? Like, I always see that when people try to call stuff like that out. I'm like, you calling this out for someone else calling something out? Like, don't you see? It's the same to me.
Totally. This guy writes, 72 Seasons was widely regarded as one of the best metal albums of the year. So maybe you just missed the boat on this one. By whom? Who was saying that Metallica's 72 Seasons was one of the best metal albums of the year?
Oh, boy. Great listener block, though.
Really good stuff.
Easy to
Thank
jump
you.
On the bandwagon and get in there and get a quick block. It's always nice to do.
Thank you so much, Justin. And thank you to everyone who replied to my Metallica tweet. It was almost a record for me muting that conversation from all the old people in my shit. Anyway, if you want to get more of our shit, you can head on over to our Patreons, patreon.com/blockparty. $5 a month gets you access to 3 bonus episodes every single month. Last week, it was the thrilling conclusion of BPD&D Season 3 with our good friends from Your Kickstarter Sucks, Jesse and DB. It was a blast. And we also did a great cameo episode with Ivan Decker. We brought back our Word Up cameo episodes where we find the worst in celebrity shout outs. We also have ad-free episodes, merch discounts, and exclusive Discord. Check it out, patreon.com/blockparty. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Block Party Pod. You can follow us on Blue Sky at Block Party. And if you want to see the video of this episode, you can head on over to our YouTube, which is youtube.com/@blockparty. And if you like the show, tell a friend. Lane, we are here at the end of the show. That means it's time for the top three.
Three, two, one.
Trois, deux, un.
Uno, 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 uno.
Mustard.
Three.
Socks.
Deux.
Girlfriends.
Uno, 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 uno.
Lane, what do you have for us?
All right. Top three plants you've kept alive.
Ooh,
if any.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Three?
Okay. I guess that was ambitious.
Okay. No, I think I can think of three, I think.
They don't have to be alive still, but that you kept alive for a while.
For a while. You okay.
I think
like
that's
a good...
fair. For longer okay. than like, oh, this went fast.
Okay.
Okay. Lane, what's your number three?
So I actually don't know all the names of the plants.
That's okay.
But I have a snake plant. It's doing great.
There you go.
Very low maintenance. I have an aloe plant. That was a rescue. I found it in the street looking real sad. It's much happier now. And then
hold on. We just want your number three. We're going to go in order. We're going to
Sorry.
No, that's okay. No problem. So number three,
I got ahead of myself because I could think of two.
You're all good. Stephen, I was real proud.
Okay, good. Oh boy. I mean, I think I had a cactus, like one of those little mini cacti.
Yeah.
I got one in college and just like had it on my desk. And I mean, I kept it alive for like the college year, you know,
that's
pretty good.
That's not bad. I think, I mean, obviously pretty easy to take care of, but, yeah, I think about a year, give or take. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of my plants in this top three are going to be plants that don't require much care. But yeah, that's my number three, John.
My number three, also a snake plant. Wouldn't really say nice. I kept it alive so much as my wife did, but it was in the studio. If you remember, there was a snake plant in the Block Party studio for a number of years. And the good story about that is when it did start to die, it started to smell, but it took a while for us to even realize that it smelled because it was the Block Party studio and we were in it and we smell. And also my building smelled because it had black mold in it. So it was like, by the time the smell was prominent enough to be like, oh no, it's for sure the plant. It was like, we dug up the roots and it was like really, really fucking dead. So that was pretty cool. That's my number three. Your number two now, Lane, please.
Yeah, I guess if three was my snake plant, two would be the aloe plant.
Okay. Where did you find, you said you found it?
Yeah, it was a rescue. I found it in the street. Someone had like left it, like had abandoned it. It was just like, I hate this aloe plant. I can't do anything with it. And it looks a little diseased. Like something was wrong with it. But I just thought I can save you. And I took it home and my friend, now I had some help. I have a friend who's like really good with plants. And she was like, if you put it over here and this is the right lighting for it, it should heal. And it took several months, but now I look at it and every time I walk past it, I'm like, you're doing so good. Like nice. You came from such a, like I talked to the plant, like my rescue dog. I'm like, you came from such a hard life. No one wanted you. And they really gave up on you, but I didn't. Look at you. Look at you now. I really give it little positive thoughts every day.
I love that. Stephen, you're number two.
This is, I guess, similar to a little cactus, but those like stone plants, the ones that look like rocks sort of.
Mm. I think I've seen those.
Yeah, again, very easy. You water them like, I don't know, once a month, I think. But that was about the same amount. Actually, that may have been even less, but I just liked that plant better. That was probably just a few months. But you know what? That's long enough, I think, for me. So one of those little stone, I don't even know if it's like a cactus technically, but it's a little plant that looks like a stone. John?
My number two, I had one of those, you know, those plants that come in like the little plastic boxes where they like grow, like, cause remember they did the fish tanks and the little plastic boxes that go on your desk.
Yes.
And then they had plants too. I had one of those when I was younger, my parents bought for me. And so, yeah, a similar thing. Cause I think it's like, I don't remember what it was even like. I don't even think it was real soil necessarily that it was that it was planted in. So it's like you really didn't have to water it very often at all. And probably my dad watered it like more than I ever did, most likely. But I had one of those for a while.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's my number two. Lane, your number one.
That's harder as a kid too, to like, I don't know, maybe not. Cause you do have more like free time, maybe.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, you have your parents like pestering you to teach you responsibility, like, right? They're like, oh, how's your plant that we bought you?
Is right. You're like, oh yeah, hold on.
Yeah, exactly.
I think my number one is gonna be because literally you reminded me, I have a little cactus that has this little like pink or red little buds on it, which is really cute. I honestly, and this is true for a lot of my plants, have no idea how much water it requires. So I just like every couple months, I'm like, and just kind of awkwardly pour some in there. And I'm like, I hope that was good for you. But I've had this plant for years and it's like survived different moves and stuff. And so I'm like, okay, I think he's happy. Cause it's so funny with cactuses because you really kind of can eyeball it because they don't really need much, but you can kill them. It's very interesting. It's like dating somebody who doesn't communicate at all. Like you're either going to be together a long time because you're never going to fight, or they're never going to talk about what's wrong and they're just going to die.
Mm, yeah, true. Yeah. Stefan, you're number one.
We had a money tree for a while, which is one of those trees where it's like the braided trunks sort of, right?
Right.
Like kind of like a palm-ish sort of tree. Very, very
palms
nice.
Are hard. Yeah.
Yeah. But we had it for like 3 years, I think.
That's great.
Yeah. And I don't think it survived the move. But you know, I think it lasted pretty long. And that one requires a little bit more care than a cactus or like rock plant. You did have to water it pretty frequently and you know, give it like I guess plants like dirt and stuff. But yeah, we managed to keep it alive for, I think, close to 3 years. I'm pretty proud of that.
I'm proud of you, Stefan.
Thank you.
My number one is a chia pet. I wasn't like a big plant. I've never been a big plant guy, but it wasn't a chia pet. It was like an off brand chia pet where it was like a head, and it grew grass out of it.
Okay.
So it was almost the grass was like its spiky hair. So I don't even remember what it was called because it wasn't an official chia product, right? Because chia is almost more like moss-ish kind of, right? Like the chia pets, it's supposed to be more like fur.
Yeah.
This was fully grass. It had like grass seed in the top of this guy's head. And the grass grew very fucking long. And it stayed alive for, I think, so my parents got it for me for Christmas and I was like 10 or something. And it stayed alive, I think, for like so much longer than my parents thought as well. It was just like, I just have this head with grass growing out of it. But then, of course, like the grass dies and falls off. But then new grass was like, so it was just, I had it for so long and it was crazy and like not cool or anything. But I was like young. I was like, oh, look at this cool little grass guy.
I haven't a lot. I think that was a big thing too when you're a kid and you're just like, I have some alive stuff in my room.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, it doesn't matter what it is. It's just like, I got some alive stuff. This is alive. This is alive. It doesn't even have to be cool.
Because I think the deal with this, which is maybe similar to the chia pet, is like it was literally like the head was almost like a burlap sack. So you kept it, I think you kept it in like a pie tin or like a bowl. So you would just have to fill up like the bottom and then it would absorb the water through the bottom. And then the grass would like come out the top. So it's very easy to take care of. And I mean, to its credit, stayed alive for a very long time. Yeah. So shout out to you, Grassy Greg, or whatever like offshoot of chia pet you were called. Lane, thank you so much for being on the show. It was an absolute pleasure to have you. Before we go, anything you would like to plug?
Yeah. So I do Tinder Live every single month in New York City. I'm starting to do it at New York Comedy Club for the next couple months in the East Village. I go on tour all over the world, so you can get all those tour dates at lanemoore.org. My social media stuff is at Hello Lane Moore pretty much everywhere. And then my first book is called How to Be Alone If You Want to and Even If You Don't. My second book that came out a couple months ago is called You Will Find Your People, how to make meaningful friendships as an adult. And then, yeah, this third book just came out a couple weeks ago. You're Not the Only One Fucking Up. And you can listen to my podcast on patreon.com/Lane Moore. We talk all about mental health stuff and feeling like you're the only one who's struggling with certain things. And we do Tinder Live, and I do take advice questions from people, and it's always fun to answer them anonymously so that people don't have to feel weird about talking about their problems on the internet.
Nice. Now, in regards to the podcast, Lane, do you think that some of your mental health challenges are just because you're not girl bossing enough, or...
You know what? I don't. I really don't. Hard no. And that's so much of like the work I do and like stuff I write about. It's like, I think so much of what I want is I want people to know that like they're not alone in this. Like, I think so much of this world wants you to feel like all your problems are your own fault and you're not. It's this really like capitalistic view of like you're not hustling hard enough. You know, if anybody can pull themselves up by their bootstraps and create an MLM or whatever, you know? And I think that's just a lot of, is this really against that? That's why it's always so funny when, you know, Janet or whatever her name is pops into my comments and is like, well, I think that my dad was rich, but I worked really hard too. And you're like, okay, I don't serve an opinion anyone on my page wants to hear. Thank you.
Well, there you go. Follow Lane if you're in New York City or anywhere. Tinder Live shows up. Go check it out. I have something to plug as well. Coming out tomorrow is the very first episode of What is a Jeopardy Podcast. Myself and Emily Heller are doing the first ever comedy podcast about Jeopardy. It's going to be a weekly show where we're going to recap the previous week's games, all the happenings, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We've done some
and
test episodes.
You guys will be on Go Off Kings tonight as well.
We will be on Go Off Kings tonight.
When this episode Jeopardy. Comes out, to be
Yes,
fair.
When this yeah. episode comes out, playing, it's Monday, March 4th, I believe,
yeah.
Playing with Stefan and Jesse. Emily's going to be playing against them. I will be the host of the show. It's going to be a great time. So yes, check that out. And again, you can donate to our Patreon, patreon.com/blockparty. You can follow us just about everywhere at Block Party Pod. And you can watch this episode on YouTube at Blocked Party. We will see you back here next week. Goodbye.
Bye.